This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton.
Welcome to Knowledge at Wharton. I'm Andrew Bassioni. Today with me is Wharton Management Professor Amy Rusnaski. She's been taking a look at something that we can all relate to, which is the meaning of work. Kind of how we derive a sense of purpose and identity from the thing that we chose to do for a living. Her latest paper looks at occupational instability. In other words, what happens to that sense of meaning and purpose when our careers are threatened or we can no longer do that thing that we love so much? Amy, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am very interested in your paper and why you took a specific look at the field of journalism, which has just really undergone tremendous changes in the last 15 years or so. And I know because I used to be in it. I was a newspaper journalist, online journalist for more than 20 years. So for me, your paper feels really personal. But I wanted to ask you, so why did you choose to study occupational instability and explain why careers in journalism provided a context for you to do so?
It's a great question. I am always interested in trying to understand dynamics and processes that shape how people make meaning of their work. And I'm particularly interested in contexts where it's likely to be challenging to do that for some reason. So that could be anything from the person works in a stigmatized occupation, the person is working remotely from the organization and is physically isolated from their colleagues. That was more novel before the pandemic. And in this instance of this paper, there's a lot that we know about how people navigate job loss and questions of meaning around that. But what's different about occupational destabilization, or in the case of journalism, particularly print journalism, occupational decline, that it presents a really different puzzle. It's not just about finding another role in another organization. The number of roles is shrinking so fast and the decline is so severe that people who had dedicated their whole professional lives, who had invested their identities in journalism, were increasingly finding themselves without a perch from which to do that work. And we felt, Winnie and I, my co-author, felt like that's a unique set of challenges for people for whom the work that they're doing is very meaningful. This would be interesting to study.
You had some crushing factoids in your paper that the journalism field has declined by about 80%, one of the fastest declining disciplines for that require a college degree. You really put that that decline in context there. So let's talk about how you went about studying this occupational instability.
So here, my co-author, Winnie Zhang, who is a faculty member at INSEAD, really gets the credit, and I want to make sure that I give that to her. So she, as a doctoral student, came to me and said, I'm really interested in this context of journalism because it seems like it's under attack. It is not just in the US, but in different parts of the world too. It's in decline. This is likely to yield interesting insights around how people are navigating this and navigating questions of meaning, which was our mutual research interest. And so it began simply by reaching out to some of the people that we knew who either were working in journalism or had decided to leave journalism to just learn more about their experiences. And from there, we realized this is just a context that is full of insight and full of, frankly, pain over what's happening in the occupation. We really ought to go ahead and do a much more systematic approach at drawing people into a sample to interview them and develop a protocol and, you know, IRB and sort of all of that, you know, research study protocols and begin collecting data. And so we eventually interviewed a total of 94 journalists, 72 of them we followed over time to look at the ways in which they navigated either figuring out a way to stay in journalism or an exit entirely, and looking at what seemed to be related to those kinds of outcomes.
I really want to encourage people to take an actual look at this paper because those interviews that you and your co-author called are just so rich. You have a lot of excerpts in the paper where you talk to them about their feelings about leaving the profession or staying in the profession. And it just provides so much fantastic insight and data into this thing that you're describing in your paper, which is the fixed meaning and the flexible meaning. Can we talk a little bit about that concept and what it means?
Yes. And before I do, I just want to say the data, I agree with you. The data are absolutely beautiful from the point of view of these transcribed interviews and the coding that we did of those interviews. And it's not lost on me that these are journalists, right? These are people who think and read and write for a living and write in a way that is compelling to broad swaths of the public or the specific audiences that they're targeting. And so it's perhaps unsurprising, but still very moving how they talk about their own experiences, because I've interviewed occupational populations across the gamut of industries and sectors and so on in the US. And these are by far, I think, some of the most profound and profoundly beautiful and poignant quotes that I've ever had in a study. And so to the question of fixed and flexible meanings, one of the things that we found as we started to delve into these interviews and ask people simply about their experiences with journalism, how they came to enter it, if how it had changed over time, if it had for them, and how they were navigating this, one of the things we realized is some of the journalists in the sample talked about the work as being deeply meaningful to them. They talked about the tasks, the relationships, and the kind of impact that journalism has as elements that were constituting a whole, that these were elements that went together, they were kind of locked together. It's what it meant to be a journalist. And there was no way to take any of those elements, the writing, the public service, the advocacy, the community-based work, there would be no way to take any of those pieces out of the journalistic whole and have it continue to mean anything in some other context, writing, say, for other kinds of entities or outlets or what have you. And we called those people the fixed meaning mindset people because they really seem to, again, not be able to see any of the portfolio of activities or skills that journalists have as being portable to anything other than journalism, and felt like it would become utterly meaningless to do this same activity, whether that was writing or what have you, in another kind of occupation or profession. And those contrasted with the people who were also in the sample, who also felt that journalism was very meaningful to them, also mourned what they saw as the decline of this occupation, but were far more able to move out of that experience of mourning and out of those kinds of emotional experiences to say, well, but there are many skills that journalists have, and I could take this one piece of it that I like and practice it or execute it over here. And it's a way for me to keep going and to keep myself employed. And though they never saw that other kind of work, from their words, as being nearly as meaningful as journalism was, it was at least a way for them to keep going.
There's a bit of a survival element there. Can you take those two concepts, fixed meaning, flexible meaning, and translate them for us, especially in terms of maybe other types of professions, individuals who find themselves at a crossroads in their career path?
Absolutely. I think any occupation that is beginning to feel the threat of, it's often technological change, but it can also come from other forces as well, economic forces, where the occupation is contracting, declining, or destabilized somehow, any of those kinds of situations or contexts is going to be characterized by the same thing that we studied, which is to say, it's going to challenge, can you keep doing this kind of work with these kinds of people, having this kind of impact in the same way? And if the answer is no, because things have changed in the environment around that occupation or around that job, then anyone who's in that situation is going to be dealing with the same kind of challenges that the journalists were. So any occupation in which technological change is either shrinking the occupation or changing the mix of what it is that people in the organization or in the occupation do for a living, right? One of the things, to make it personal, during COVID, that I frankly think a lot of faculty were thrilled about was nobody seemed to prefer all online school. The students missed being in the classroom, the faculty missed being in the classroom with the students. And there was a sense of what might have been a more looming technological threat that all education can happen online, we don't need campuses any longer, and so on, was quickly revealed to be maybe less of a threat than we had worried. I'll expand on this to just say, even in occupations that aren't declining or destabilizing, if you think about an individual moving through the period of their, over the course of their career, someone could be promoted into a position that changes the mix of tasks, relationships, and impact that they see comprising the job in ways that they don't like. If they see these things as fixed and fused, and to be the professional they want to be, they don't want to change or pull out any element of that, then they will struggle also, even with something that could be good news, like a promotion. If it is, again, threatening this sense of the meaningful whole of the occupation as they see it.
That's definitely true. That makes me actually think of law enforcement, where people who are like police officers working on the street, on the beat, maybe don't want to become detectives where they're behind the desk because it creates a dissonance for them in terms of the reason they got into the work in the first place. Or even teachers, you know, teachers in the classroom versus teachers working in administration. That's super interesting. Let me ask you too about, you talked a little bit about automation and disruption. It makes me think about, you know, journalism was threatened not just by the internet and by automation, but it was also threatened by changes in the culture, changes in consumption, the way that people wanted to consume news. And when I think about that, I also think about other professions, like, for example, retail. In a business context, retail is being challenged by changes in consumption, especially during COVID, changes in automation, changes in transaction, all those sorts of forces are acting on retail. So let's talk about what are the implications for managers dealing with occupational instability, maybe employees who, as we've talked about, people who find themselves in this situation, what do they need to know? What are some of the things that they can sort of control?
Yes. Well, I think it can be quite difficult to control the larger societal, economic, technological forces, right? Those are very hard to keep at bay. So I think the thing that we need to focus on is the kind of control that people can have, and maybe managers can help people have, over their response to this. So on the one hand, we could see a journalist having a fixed meaning kind of mindset as being quite heroic, right? They're going down with the ship. They are once a journalist, always a journalist. But I have to say, you know, these people inspire great worry in me because they were often, you know, taking jobs where they were being paid kind of pennies on the dollar of what they had been able to command in more stable times in journalism. And so they were, yes, kind of holding to their original occupation, but doing it in ways that were, I think, leading them, you know, into what I worried would be peril, right, around their ability to survive and to keep doing this work in this way. So I think probably the most helpful thing that managers can do and employees can keep in mind when facing this kind of instability is making a proactive decision about either if you want to stay the course, what that's going to take, and you know how else you want to try to support yourself or keep yourself stable while you do that. But it seems to me that helping people understand the need to evolve if the context is requiring that, and then to be systematic and thoughtful about looking at what are the tasks and interactions, relationships, kinds of impact that they're having in the work that they love most. And then to be quite disciplined about thinking about where else could that experience be either duplicated, or if it can't be duplicated or repeated elsewhere, that it, at least an echo of it could be, to take some element of the most meaningful aspects of the work as a guide to carry into how might you look at the kinds of occupations or roles or even different positions in the organization that you could possibly take.
So, Amy, I know that you've been studying work, meaning, and identity for the span of your career. So here's where I'm going to sort of plumb some of that knowledge from you and ask you, what expert advice do you have for us in terms of work identity and occupational instability and all those things that you've pulled from your body of research?
If I looked across the span of time that I've been studying these questions, I think my advice comes down to two points, ultimately. The first would be, it very much seems to be the case that people who choose or move into or happen to find themselves in work in which the work is about more than just an economic exchange with the organization or with the employer, that those people seem to be better off in both the short and longer term. If the work can be attached or connected for the worker, regardless of what kind of work it is, to something that they see as being worthwhile to them and to the world in some way, that seems to make an enormous difference in people's experience of their work and people's satisfaction with their lives. So that would be the first piece of advice is, if possible, find or maneuver your way between organizations. It could be within the same organization, into something where the meat of what you're doing is something that you feel matters beyond the fact that it's also throwing off a paycheck. If you can't do that, if that's not feasible for some reason, and moving on or moving along is just not possible, I would suggest in that case, my second point, which is to think about how can you act upon the boundaries of that job, essentially craft the job that you're in, to change some things about the tasks that you're doing, change some things about the interactions and relationships you're engaging in, change some things about how it is you're thinking about and approaching the job or the role as a whole, that will help you derive the kinds of meaning that you most want to experience in the work. Sometimes people do this in secret. They don't let their managers know that they're making these tweaks to their job designs. And they seem to be quite powerful for helping people have a sense of agency in their work, but also physically, in reality, changing parts of how they're enacting the job in ways that allow them to derive the kind of meaning they most seek.
I think that's great advice and something we all need to hear right now in these difficult times. So thank you for that. And thank you for being here. The paper, once again, is titled Perceived Fixed or Flexible Meaning Toward a Model of Meaning Fixedness and Navigating Occupational Destabilization. And of course, we want to mention once again your co-author, Winnie Zhang, with NCED. Also, the paper appears, if you want to look it up, in the journal Administrative Science Quarterly. If you enjoyed this conversation, we invite you to check out all our content. Just type in Knowledge at Wharton in your search bar. I'm Angie Bastianini. Thanks for being with us.
For more insight from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.